Welcome to Views from the Porch, a podcast where we explore what it looks like to survive and thrive in your young adult years. Each week, we talk about the biggest challenges facing young adults today and how to overcome them from God's Word based on our weekly experience in leading thousands of young adults at the porch. For more info on the porch, visit theporch.live. Thank you for joining.
What is up, people? We are back with another episode of Views from the Porch after a long hiatus and we are stoked to be here. I'm joined with the one and only, of course, John David, I'm engaged, Rogers.
yep. That's me. What's up?
And Mrs. Laura Eldridge.
Hey, y'all.
Has it changed?
No. When did you get engaged?
May 22nd.
Yeah. So people are aware.
It's been some time.
But it was only like a month after that we stopped.
I know. We stopped.
No, it
was a couple of months after.
We stopped in like August.
Yeah.
But... All right. Why did we stop? Let's just, for those that haven't heard.
Yeah, we were, and I think next week we're actually going to release the podcast that we recorded to explain, hey, we're going to take a season of rest, and it's a podcast all about rest. So that is a bonus episode coming next Monday. But we were in a season where we were hiring three people. We were planning a 4,000 person conference, and we were down staff, and we decided, hey, we're going to have to drop some balls. Let's at least be intentional and thoughtful and set those balls down. And one of those was Views from the Porch, rather than just go through life and, man, things fall apart. And to protect, you know, I just continue to think through, there's nothing more important than your spiritual, emotional, mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think we were in a season of just, it was crazy, all this stuff going on. I mean, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just think that it's important that we keep it real. And, you know, we're not anymore, like, we are not superheroes. We are not any more indestructible. Like, we are human beings with imperfections, and sometimes we need naps too, okay? We need naps, and we need a break. And I think we just got to the point where it's like, the people will be fine. And guess what?
Everyone is fine.
y'all probably just moved on and forgot about us. Like, you're probably going to see this and be like, oh yeah, this thing. Like, Views from the Porch.
Who is that?
I forgot about those guys.
And so it's been honestly like, it just changed my perspective too. Because I think sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, you can think, I've got to do this. And it's like, no, God's got it.
Yeah. Sometimes the anticipation of like messing up or dropping a ball is so much worse than when it actually happens and you're like, oh, guess what? We're fine, and the people are fine. We were supposed to post that episode saying, hey, we're peacing out for a little bit, and you know what? We didn't.
And people were okay.
Everyone's
I will say, like, I would even go to say, like, I don't even think we, like, dropped or set down a ball. If anything, we glorified and honored God by showing him that we take rest seriously. And that people don't need us to accomplish God's will in their life. And so,
come on.
Anyways, enough about the past. We are looking towards the future.
That's right.
And guys, we are really, though, we love doing this with you guys and just opening up God's word and tackling all the different, I mean, so many things that could be discussed today, where Christianity and culture collide with our lifestyles as young adults. But as we are looking ahead, we're planning some really exciting things. We have made those hires, and they are just absolute rock stars and going to help us a lot out here with this and just different things we're planning. Super excited as we're getting closer and closer already to 2022.
Yeah, we are.
Can y'all believe that?
Not at all.
Like, nuts.
We're heading into fall.
Oh,
and that is insane. It's going to fly by. And but in the meantime, we have some really fun, just different topics and discussions to talk about with you guys, which leads me to what we're talking about today. It is a big day because in 24 hours of you listening to this podcast, within 24 hours, October 5th, David Marvin is dropping a book. We're all freaking out. His first book. I mean, we got an author with us. New York Times bestselling.
We prophesied.
Already.
But so excited. That's tomorrow. And so first off, just, David, how are you feeling?
Man, I am so excited. I really, like you said, I missed doing this and missed being in here weekly with you guys. But so pumped. I mean, there's a book called We're All Freaking Out, Why We Don't Need To. It's on anxiety and how to connect the dots between what God's word says about anxiety, which is such a huge issue right now. The church has got to talk more about mental health, anxiety, depression. And so I'm really excited. You know, I think there's people I would assume that write books just to kind of write one. And then there's times where, just like with anything in life, you create something that you're like, man, I really believe in this.
Yeah.
It's shaped by God's word. It is birthed out of two things. One, the dramatic spike over the last 10 years of teaching young adults, we've seen just explosive rates of anxiety through the roof that only got worse in COVID. I mean, it was bad before COVID. And then also, in my experience, so many Christians don't understand what God's word actually says about anxiety. They think it just says stop or just have more faith or don't worry about stuff, which mm-hmm. is not, it's so over, candidly, it's insulting to the incredible truths and principles that God gives us that are really practical and I believe really helpful and personally have experienced really helpful as it relates to combating anxiety. So I'm pumped.
Yeah. And just personally, like, did you always want to write a book? Did you always see yourself as an author? Like, is that something you've always, Shakespeare?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got some poetry. No, doing this with the Porch, there were conversations with different publishers just throughout the years. And originally I said no or was not interested. Didn't feel like I just, for whatever reason, God hadn't made that clear. And then they came back and said, would you consider doing something on anxiety? It seems like something that you're clearly passionate about. My wife is a licensed counselor who for 10 years has helped young adults with their anxiety. It's primarily what she deals with and what she sees people for. And so we just prayed about it and thought, man, if we could create a resource that would help people, we would do that. And so that was kind of the journey that we were on and then began to just go through and research and read and study everything that we could and only became more convinced of just the heartfelt needs of so many people who are battling anxiety, that feel crippled by it. And over the last year, it's just gotten worse. I mean, you guys see the emails, see the DMs, see all the people just saying, hey, what do I do? How can I face this? And so I am praying this will really help people if you're experiencing anxiety. And so, yes, it is available wherever books are sold. Do people buy books anywhere but Amazon, though?
Yeah.
I buy them at Barnes & Noble. I go in person.
No.
Yep.
I still go to Barnes & Noble.
No.
There's something about a bookstore. You know, you just walk in and you're like, wow, this is such good vibe.
And like getting the book and like I personally, just so you know, this is good to know. I think people do this. I walk in, the cover is a lot for me.
Oh, it's huge.
I want to like the cover. I want to like what I see. They cared about it.
People judge a book by its cover.
It literally.
Yeah.
And then you go to the back. I read a little bit about the back. And then I open up the first page. And if I'm engaged, I'm like, I'll buy this. If not, I'm like, boring. Put it back on the shelf.
Totally.
You are exactly what everyone describes as, you know, how to think through, you know, first pages if they won't hook.
Oh, really?
Fascinating. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know. There are some really good books that people have been suggesting lately. And I'm like, no, I read the first page and I wasn't into it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Man, you guys are interesting.
Okay. So in the book, and this isn't necessarily even about the book, but more about young adults today and how mental health and spiritual health and all those things collide and what God's word does have to say about it, because I think it's just an ongoing conversation that we can always be having. You said that rates of, you know, depression and people showing these things are only climbing, but comparatively, Gen Z, millennials, the young adults that you are ministering to today, how does it actually compare to our parents and their parents and all of that?
When you look at the rates of anxiety among young adults, and Gen Z's only gotten worse, which is saying something because millennials were already really bad, there was a significant jump that happened between Gen X and millennials in terms of how people describe their current level of anxiety, fear that they feel, how they think about the future, a staggering jump by enormous percentages from Gen X to millennials, which is young adults, 35 to 28 today. And it only got even higher among Gen Z. And I think one of the reasons is so much change has happened. I mean, think about the world that our parents grew up in and the world that even we grew up in and how much has changed in our landscape. There was a study that was done, and think about this, in 2010, a study was done on how the world has transformed more in the past 30 years, or it's transformed as much in the past 30 years as the previous 300 combined.
Mm. Wow.
And that was 2010. That's before Uber. That's before Netflix. That's before iPad. That's before Alexa. That's before all this. So think about in the last 10 years how much has changed. And change is stressful just by nature. And not only that, young adulthood is increasingly one where people are walking through some pivotal years from, you know, 22 to the average age of marriage now being 30. So they're walking through it in previous generations with a spouse. You know, they're facing major life decisions and they at least have somebody that they're going home to and talking with, processing with. Now, because the average age of marriage from 1980 to today has gone from 24 to 30, 30 plus for men, they're walking through those pivotal years all alone. and they don't know quite how to process and make those life decisions, which further compounds and increases anxiety. And then the last reason, I think studies are showing why there is growing amounts of anxiety. I mean, to the point where one other study, before I mention that, said that the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s exhibited the same levels of anxiety that the average young adult today has.
Like literally inpatient.
Inpatient psychiatric. I mean, that's crazy. Or as, you know, people in the 1950s would say, we are crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's because we're so connected. Like the information, think about our grandparents when Pearl Harbor happened, this big explosion on American soil where the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. They would have found out either that night on the radio, maybe, or a couple weeks later when they read the newspaper. Now, if there's a terrorist attack in Belgium, man, I get a news alert that, did you guys see what just happened? And I'm connected to all the different people in the world that have everything that I wish that I had, and I'm constantly able to feed my own insecurity or my own comparison just through click a button on Instagram. And so I think that the connectedness that we have and the amount of information that we have, it's not helping.
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned like instability, lots of change, being alone, all these reasons for anxiety. I know there's so many more of like, do I look good enough? Can I keep up, especially with all the changes? Like there's so many countless reasons, but how do you think somebody should go about like identifying?
Yeah.
What is the reason that I'm so anxious, whether it's today or just in general?
Yeah. Before, let me say this just as one example that I think will lead into the answer of that.
Okay.
This is one example of the ways that people don't understand what the Bible actually teaches about anxiety. And I think most people think when Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. People read that and they think, this is so unrealistic. Paul just said, don't be anxious. What? Never be anxious. How can that even be possible? Just pray about stuff? Like, I've tried praying, and it doesn't make my anxiety go.
Yeah.
But that's not what Paul is saying, and this is really important. The word that he uses for not be anxious is the Greek word merimnao. It's a word that is associated in Greek literature with meditation. So when Paul says, hey, do not be anxious about anything, he's not saying don't ever have an anxious thought. That's impossible. That's like saying, don't think about a pink elephant. And immediately, you're like, oh no, I thought about a pink. What he is saying is don't willingly choose to meditate on fearful, anxious, worried thoughts. Don't fill your life and your mind meditating on those things, which is why he goes where he goes next in Philippians chapter 4 and says, instead, whatever is true, noble, lovely, worthy of praise, think about these things. He's in the same context of meditating. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So that is one example of how people, they read the Bible and they think, this just doesn't apply, it's irrelevant and really impossible. But it's because they're not understanding what Paul is actually saying. He's saying, don't choose. You can't choose if somebody's going to break into your house. You can choose if they break in to sit down or to help them carry out the TV and help them carry out the furniture and help them, you know, steal things. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you can't choose if an anxious thought's going to pop into your head. You can choose if you're going to sit there and dwell and meditate on it. Now, to your question, which I think is a really important one, one of the biggest keys to finding increasing freedom from anxiety is identifying why am I actually anxious. And I think this is one that I really learned a lot from my wife in that comes, I think, connected to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching. I think he's doing the same thing. But where people will find themselves anxious and they're behind every emotion that we experience is going to be a little bit heady. And we talk about it in thorough, at a deep level in the book. Every emotion that you experience involves a belief and a value. And I've talked about this at the porch, but there's always every emotion. In other words, if it doesn't involve something you value, you can't experience emotion. If it doesn't involve a belief that you have, whether or not that belief is true or a lie, you can't experience emotion. So behind every feeling of anxiety, there's a belief and a value that is there. And as Christians, we've got to go, hey, what are the beliefs that are informing what I'm feeling? Like, what am I believing that's informing what I'm feeling? Or what am I valuing? And does God say that the level of value that I place that at, is that, you know, enough? Is it too much? Is it inappropriate? And so let me use an example. If I was seeing a squirrel run in the street, you know, I could believe, hey, that squirrel could get hit by a car. I'm not going to feel anything because I don't really value squirrels. And if that offends people who love squirrels. Yeah, I apologize, but
like, you animal.
Like, who loves squirrels? Let's be honest. But if I see a child, and if I see my child, something I incredibly value, if I believe that he's in danger, which he is, if he's running in the middle of the street, I'm going to feel anxiety. You can't manufacture emotions. Like, they come, and any time that they come, it's because there's a belief and there's a value. Here's where things get really interesting. If I see what, appears, my wife is walking through our front yard, and I see her walking towards what I believe is a snake, I'm going to feel, because I value her, emotion. I'm going to feel anxiety, angst, worried. I'm going to feel fear. Whether or not it is a snake doesn't even matter. If I believe it could be a snake, because it could just be a stick. And let's say it was just a stick. If I believed that it was, I'm going to feel that. And so something doesn't even have to be true. The potential for it to possibly be true can create that emotion. And so that's a long way of saying, I think behind everything that we experience, every fear, maybe you're afraid of, you know, you got on your Instagram and you scrolled through and you just saw another friend that got engaged and you felt a mixture of sadness and fear over, I'm going to be single for forever. Behind that feeling of anxiety over your singleness, there is a belief and a value that is there. And you got to go, hey, what would God say about that belief, whether or not it's true? And what would God say about how I'm valuing marriage? Because sometimes the belief is, hey, if I don't get married by 32, life is not worth living. Because we never quite say it that way, but there's part of us that would be like, oh my gosh, my biological clock is ticking and, you know, I'm a failure in life. That's you bought a lie. Basically.
Or your grandparents straight up tell you that sometimes.
Totally. Yeah. And you're believing a lie.
Yeah.
If you are in a dating relationship and you experience conflict, sometimes the belief that is behind what creates anxiety in a dating relationship because there's conflict is you grew up in a home where you were taught, intentionally or unintentionally, conflict is a bad thing. We don't do it. Or you grew up in a home where your parents fought all the time. So now that belief of, oh no, I need to avoid this. If there's conflict, it's really bad and I feel anxious over the relationship, I probably should break up, is connected to a false perspective on conflict, because God's word doesn't say conflict is bad. It says that conflict is an opportunity to honor God and to work through relationships. In fact, some of the most unhealthy dating relationships, studies would say, they have no conflict, because it typically, a relationship without any sort of conflict reflects a codependency on one side or the other. And so all that to say, I think you got to have people in your life and you got to go, what are the beliefs and roots? And this is really what I talk in length in the book about. How do I get down to what are the beliefs and the roots and the values, and what does God's word have to say about those?
Yeah, that's really good. I honestly wish I would have heard, because I don't think I've ever heard it broken down quite like that. And I really think that's a gift. Like, I think there's this unique, like, you are a pastor and you love the Lord so much and love people so much, but also you're one of the smartest people I know, truly.
Oh my God.
I don't mean that give you a big ego, but you really are. I was talking to my lawyer friend. I'm like, listen, you need to be friends with David, because you guys would talk things that I couldn't even begin to understand.
Man, stop.
But
stop.
So, no, literally.
Keep going, but stop.
But I think it is a really beautiful gift, especially for my generation that we're all so passionate about that we wouldn't be here. But even in a conversation today, like, I've never heard it broken down quite like that, where I could have asked her, you know, she's in a relationship and, you know, has gone through breakups before, and this overwhelming anxiety of like, oh my gosh, it's going to crash and burn. I'm going to be rejected. And even just having those tools to be like, okay, what do you believe? And then what are you valuing? So I think that is really, really cool.
Can I give you one more, just because we're on the topic of dating?
Yeah.
We're teaching at the porch on coming out of a dating series. I think there are messages, and this is where you got to do the hard work of introspecting and go asking reflective questions. I think there are people who break up in relationships. Everything makes sense on paper. It's like, man, she's a godly girl. I find her attractive. I just don't feel something that I think I'm supposed to feel. And it gives me angst over maybe they're not the right person. You know, I feel some sort of anxiety or, oh, maybe I shouldn't move forward. When you stop and think about it, you're going, there's some part of you that believes you should feel something that you can't even quite put into words in order to move forward in this relationship. And you were taught that somewhere along the way, because all of us learned how to date and what relationships from really bad sources, to be candid.
Yeah.
Of Hollywood, Netflix,
sure.
You know, Boy Meets World and Cory and Topanga when I was growing up. All these different ways of like, oh, you should feel
like,
this.
Topanga what?
Yeah.
And so now that you don't, you bought that somewhere in your, you know, subconscious, this belief of, oh, I should, you know, like the hills are alive with the sound of music and my heart's beating out of my chest and, oh, I just love this person. And that is not a biblical thing. I'm not saying, you know, that you should say in the relationship. I'm just saying you're not operating from a lens of what scripture says to value and what scripture says you should be believing. And I think it happens so commonly.
Yeah, you're just saying check yourself.
Check yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that's good. Because it is actually really sad because I think a lot of people get crippled in dating, in job decisions, in so many things because of anxiety.
Yep. Yes. Which is a perfect segue into how I'm going to wrap us up.
Ooh.
Because this has all been so good.
Come on.
I want to keep us on time. I want each of us to say something that we are currently anxious about.
Yeah.
What is a thought? What is a thought that you have that you've been dwelling on? What's something that you've been worrying about? Let's get vulnerable for a minute with our people. And then I have a follow-up question. So who wants to start?
Okay. Well, I'm pregnant.
So. Oh, she did it. She did it.
So there's She's that.
Prego.
Oh my gosh.
I will tell you this.
Congratulations.
As a reminder, Laura is married.
I am married.
Yes.
And I'm honestly, I don't say this to, like, I'm one of the most chill people that I know. Like, I feel like I'm pretty
I'd
chill.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a seven.
I'm not a stress ball.
All
like,
you sevens.
Everything's fine. Yeah. Let's have fun in life, okay? But I went to hot yoga early on, and then I made the mistake of Googling afterwards, like, should I have gone to hot yoga?
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, I just gave my baby spina bifida. And I'm over here like, wow.
Spina bifida?
Yeah.
I
don't even know what
like,
that
basically,
is.
Like
you stretched your baby too
like
much.
My baby's gonna be they were
you don't know
everything online.
You're fearful over
I was fearful.
Hey, did anything?
I was
yeah.
so anxious
that's
and,
real
you know I called and anyways I went on this spiral of like oh my gosh I had one job I've been pregnant I've known that I'm pregnant for like 2 weeks and I've already screwed it up and so I think I was so anxious of like what can I do what are I don't know all the rules I wish somebody would just tell me but then everyone's telling me all these other things and then these people are saying one thing and then these people are saying another thing like which one is it and I felt that in singleness sometimes too where people would be like oh yeah go ask him out and people be like no don't do that and you're just like what do I do
yes
so that was me that ended in tears Colby was so sweet and then you know now I'm like God's got it if we have a crippled baby it's gonna be great but
wait, I know we're all in ministry but we can't say the truth right now we're just saying the thought
okay
the
okay
thought. Oh yeah yeah okay
so that was the anxious thought that
okay.
was the thought like okay. I'm gonna screw my baby up
okay
I had
okay.
one shot and I ruined it
that's okay that is good
that's real you want to go next
yeah I'll go next if you're, I guess this is October 4th, so I've already had my kidney surgery, so hopefully everything's good. Y'all won't know, but because we're pre-recording this, but something I'm anxious about right now is if I get corona or something like that before, the surgery, I wouldn't get to have it. And
oh, wow.
So I just obviously have to come to work. I have to make a living. I have to do things and live my life. But I also, part of me is just like, over analyzing
yeah.
every move I make and kind of weirdly the same way
yeah,
I'm predicting my
like,
kidney like you're predicting
yeah.
your baby
yeah,
to help my friend Ryan who is dying of you know kidney failure and so I think I'm like so close to the finish line and I'm just like overly thinking what if I mess it up
yeah
in some way by making some selfish decision or doing something I just didn't know so much so I like sprinted out because I had a stuffy nose and the doctor, anyways, I got a rapid test and not negative, luckily, but just
that's real.
Yeah. Just thinking about
out.
It often
yeah.
of like, man, what's going
to
happen?
Man, that's so good. On the baby one, I was trying to think of like something else to make this not about babies because most of our audience may not
yeah.
connect to that.
Mm-hmm. But if it's what it is, it is what it is.
It is what it is and yeah. it's the real thing. My wife today had to go to the hospital because of some significant pain she was having in her stomach. She's 22 weeks pregnant. And that just throws you into all of the like, oh my gosh, this could miscarriage. This could, I mean, anxiety takes you so fast. And this is one of the things we could do another one on it, but to slow down. Cause immediately you go from, oh my gosh, she has pain to we're going to lose and have to bury our son. And that is just,
that's so real.
Terrifying.
And you can dwell.
And you can dwell,
yep.
but you have to choose to go, man, God is, he's as in control as he's ever
been. There he goes, he's preaching.
And, I wasn't supposed to do that.
But, no, but that actually, so that's, right, wrap us up, David. So my last question is we've all identified those thoughts, which are so real.
Yeah.
Each of us, like, those are big things.
Yeah.
And the reality is every person probably listening could say theirs. And man, it's real and it's there. And we understand how hard it is to not dwell. And so in the unknowns, in the uncertainties, in like hopefully what we read in this book, but what would you just say of how do we practically like surrender that to the Lord?
I think it's ongoing surrendering control, which we never had anyways. So it's like surrendering something that, you know, what are the choices we have? Because we don't have control over life. And I think you choose to be responsible in everything that you can today. So you're responsible with, I'm not going to go crowd surf at a concert with a bunch of COVID people. I'm going to choose not to continue doing hot yoga. I'm going to choose to whatever that looks like in terms of me and my wife. But also release, hey, God, the unknown is yours. And I don't know what everything tomorrow has, but you do. And you hold tomorrow. And so I'm going to walk and trust in that. And this, it's a really longer answer, but I think that's the fastest way to say it. And then practically, it's really a passion point that we unpack in the book.
So. Yeah, what I heard you say is like, your tendency is to want to dwell, and you should not dwell on that anxious thought. What you can dwell on is what's true.
Yes.
And so when your body has an instinct to dwell on the lie and on the negative thought or the what ifs, replace that. It's there. You can identify it, but then dwell on what's true and what God says. So,
and
really good.
Yeah, and I think on a practical level, what you said it, David, is like God is sovereign. Like, do I actually believe that He's in control and that He's good? And two words have like changed, literally like changed my line of thinking. And that they're even if, and it's like I remember in my singleness and in just different seasons of my life, it's still been the same thing. Like even if everything that I'm believing is true. Like, what if they do hate me? What if I am going to be single forever, even if? Does that change anything about what I'm worth?
Yeah,
God still love me.
I think just on landing the plane here to what you just said, JD, this is not just, hey, think positive. Don't think that.
Yeah.
It is, hey, I could get COVID and not be able to have surgery.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm not just going to be like, no, stop thinking. I'm going to replace that with, but God is sovereign, and my friend and myself are not going to live one day longer or one day shorter then He's ordained. And if that takes place and the surgery gets postponed a week, God is sovereign over all of that. And there's nothing I can do. I'm going to do everything responsible that I can. But beyond that, God is going to do what He's going to do. And I can choose to trust Him. So
that's good,
man. Yeah, that's it. Thank you guys. Man, it's just fun. I'm excited. You guys have been such great friends.
And if you haven't somehow, if you've been living under a rock, you can go to davidmarvin.org/resources and get your copy of We're All Freaking Out Today and Why We Don't Need To, written by the one, the only, Mr. D. Marv. He's always introducing us. It's nice
I
to
know,
flip it on
right?
him. So, David, seriously, we're proud of you.
So proud.
Thank you for fighting on behalf of our generation. And we know that on top of being a new father, you know, wife that's pregnant and all the different things that you have going on. We never want to take it for granted, the things that you do to lead us and to point us to truth. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be really helpful. Do it with your friends. Post pics. It's encouraging to see. Just, I mean, grab your squad and do it together.
Yeah.
So fun. All right. We love y'all. We're pumped to be back. We'll see you next week in another episode of Views from the Porch.
I want to thank you for listening to Views from the Porch. For more information about The Porch Ministry, visit us at theporch.live or follow us on social media at The Porch.